You are now tuning in to Spirituality Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. LaTanya Moore. This is the place where we cover all things related to your spiritual maturity. I'm talking topics, experiences, and application. It's also the place where you can receive practical tips when you are ready to strengthen your relationship with God. Hashtag practical. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right in to today's episode. Hey, come on in. Welcome to another episode of Spirituality Podcast. Is this your first time here? Baby, where have you been? We are 24 episodes into this thing, into season two. There's also a ton of foundation in season one. So you got some catching up to do, but it's cool though. We're family now because you are in the building. Y'all, one more episode as we end the season of the podcast and take a quick break so we can, you know, re-up and gear up for what God is having us do for season three. But I want to let you know that during the last episode, I am going to take questions. I'm going to take questions by voicemail. And the same way I had the opportunity to do that during the last season, but last season I had you all answer a question. Well, this time you can ask me a question and anything goes. Hopefully it's about the podcast, right? Or something that you're experiencing, maybe in your relationship with God, or maybe something that has happened during this season of the podcast. But if you have a question and you want your voice to be on the podcast, submit your question. In the show notes, I have a link and you can go to that link and go ahead and submit your question. So you'll have about a minute to record your question and I'll take that question and add it to the episode. Now, I need you to go ahead and get this question in. So as soon as you're listening to this episode, I need you to go ahead and submit that question for me, okay? So it is open and available for questions. Let's go. Well, as I was, you know, really thinking about what this last episode with the guest would be like, I started just asking God, like, God, what do we want to leave them with? You know, as I think about, you know, the season that we're in, we are moving into the summer. And so I just thought about, you know, what's important to leave with and to end with. And God really began to show me relationships. I was like, okay, then. Of course, we had a whole series on kingdom relationships in season one. So we're not going in depth because we've done that before. But as I started to, you know, just pray about, you know, different types of relationships, one of the first thing that came up was really romantic relationships, right? So whether it's dating or marriage or what have you, prospering in those. And at the same time, other relationships began to come up as well. You know, I want y'all out here having hot girl and hot boy summers, you know, but at least do it in a kingdom way. So this episode is all about prospering in relationships. Prospering in relationships. Listen, our guest is so amazing. She has so many practical tips. So we're going to dive deep with her. But of course, I want to give us a little bit of context and, you know, a little bit more on the topic of prospering in relationships. Because as I began to pray about this, I began to understand this as transformation that was going to begin to happen in our relationships. Again, whether it's romantic relationship, platonic relationship, relationship with a good old friend, your circle, your board of directors, the people who are helping to make decisions in your life, the people that you go to. I believe that what we're going to discuss today can really apply to any relationship in your life, even when we're talking about romantic ones, right? I feel like there's just so much that's transferable. As I started to talk about relationships and just, you know, pray about this, God brought two things back to my remembrance from therapy. And as I, you know, used to do therapy one-on-one with clients, one of the things that I used to assess was their family relationships. And that's so important because it helps me gain more context, right, about how they view relationships. And so one of the things that I used to do is first really think about, you know, the spectrum of connection. Some people are on one end of that spectrum and they're like, you know what? I am not connected at all. And I don't necessarily have to be, you know, very close, you know, to family. I don't necessarily have to, you know, talk to them every day and all of those things. And, you know, some people are on the other end of that spectrum where they want to be as connected as possible. It's important that they talk to family every single day, that, you know, there are family members that they want to connect with on a regular basis. They need a lot from that relationship. And so, you know, I would assess those things and where they are. Mind you, this is different from, you know, and with various family members, right? So you might be a person who doesn't need to connect as much, but you might have a sister who needs to connect a lot. So how do you all really merge this? How do you meet in the middle if you don't want to connect much at all, but the sister, you know, wants to talk all the time and for hours, right? So it's really coming together and really thinking about, all right, how can I give her a bit of what she needs? And at the same time, I get a bit of what I need, right? It's the same thing with this spectrum of relationships as we thinking about, you know, healthy relationships on down to, you know, abusive relationships, really. So healthy relationships, are there boundaries? You know, is there communication or is it unhealthy somewhere in the middle where there is, you know, some unfair conversations happening, some one-sided things happening, or is it abusive where, you know, listen, this thing is toxic, right? So I used to assess this spectrum of relationships and just learn a little bit more about how a person was functioning in relationship. And I want you to begin to think about that as well. Where are you on this spectrum of relationships with people in your life? When you are talking to people, you know, when they call or when you're texting, what kind of feeling do you get from them, right? Is this a person you want to connect with on a regular basis and talk to daily? Is this a person where, you know what, I have to protect my energy a little bit more because when I talk to them, things shift and change. And so really noticing that, right? And I really think that is rooted not only in, you know, yourself and your internal makeup, but also in your discernment, because this might shift and change in different seasons of your life where you are, you know, spending lots of time with one person and it feels good and it's exciting and you enjoy it. And then that same person at a later time, right? You could go through a season where, I don't know, it didn't necessarily feel good in my spirit as much. So always using and leaning toward Holy Spirit to guide you in these relationships. All right. You know what I love about my Bible study? I love that I am able to just take things away and reference them. And so I've been in Genesis, you know, since the beginning of the year, actually. I just finished Genesis, okay? And I started at the beginning of January. And so I just finished. And as I was thinking about this episode, it's like God began to just kind of rewind some things for me. And I started to look at the differences in relationships and some of the Bible characters, even in Genesis. I mean, we're talking about the first book of the Bible. And I started to notice all the differences in relationships, parent-child relationships, the differences in relationships between husbands and wives. And like, even as I think about Jacob and Esau, so these two were brothers and their parents had different relationships with each one of them, right? And those relationships flourished in a different way. Jacob ended up getting married. He had two wives. He had Rachel and Leah. And so, you know, the relationship that he had with Rachel was like very connected. And with Leah was very distant. Like she did all these things to try to make it a close relationship. I say all this to say that even in the Bible, you notice these relationships and how they have this different level of connection, right? And that every relationship is different and each one brings a different value than the other. And so I began to really pay close attention to how these relationships were forming and how they, you know, really progressed during these biblical times. And it's so indicative of, you know, what relationships are like today. And so I feel like just taking some time to really break down more about how to have prosperous relationships, right? We all go through things in our relationships. And so how do we have prosperous relationships? What does that look like? The Bible is showing us through Bible characters that every relationship looks different. But we also know that, you know, we should be treating, you know, people like they're our brothers and being kind and doing things of that nature. So I wanted to spend some time on relationships and the quality of those relationships. And I have the perfect guest to do so. Listen, she is going to break down all these practical tips. So go ahead and grab your notebook because we're heading into the E, the experience. Janelle is a master facilitator and is currently a PhD scholar. She uses sociometry and experiential activities to engage her audience to create movement and change within their particular social spaces. She is committed to bringing awareness to the topic of mental health and optimal human performance and has worked as a leading therapist and facilitator for the past 12 years. Janelle is also a part-time lecturer at the Barbados Community College and the University of West Indies in the Social Work and Psychology Divisions. Additionally, she is a wellness coach and manages her own CrossFit gym training elite athletes and seniors to optimize their performance. She also leads the team at Therapeutic Alliance Training, which provides workshops and seminars on personal development, team building, and all things mental health. She is the chief heart operator of Grief Recovery Works and specializes in corporate grief training. So, JC, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
I am so excited to have you. Oh my gosh, we have been IG friends for a really, really long time and just connecting back and forth, you know, just commenting on one another's posts and sliding in the DM from time to time. And mm-hmm. So it's so great to really like have God say, you know what? Yeah, we need her for an episode.
I appreciate it.
I'm so glad. So we're talking about all things prospering in relationships. We are in this season 2 of the podcast, and you got to send us off with something good because, you know, it's almost summer. We are about to be hopefully not having hot girl summers or hot boy summers, but we really want to prosper in our relationships, right? So what does a prosperous relationship look like to you?
Okay, so that's a very good question. I want to say that a prosperous relationship definitely has a couple factors. We're talking about it needs to be healthy. So, and I break down healthy as healed by self, right?
That's good.
Has to be boundary oriented. You know, it has to be purpose given. Also has to be partnership oriented. Definitely has to be loving, and it has to be rooted in nourishment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you just started us off with the list. I mean,
yeah.
One time really quickly.
So it has to be healthy, you know? Mm-hmm. So you have to have the ability to heal thyself within the space that you're in with the person. It has to be boundary oriented. Can you set those boundaries that that person understands, and can you create consequences when they don't understand that you can have movement in the relationship, purpose given? It has to be partnership oriented. Are we doing this together? You know, it has to be loving, and it has to be rooted in nourishment. Because if you think like a plant, like you can't just plant a plant anywhere. You have to have the correct soil, and that soil has to nurture the plant in order so it can be abundant. And in relationships, especially prosperous relationships, we need to nourish it.
That is so good, JC. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So it's to heal thyself for me. Okay. Mm. Heal thyself. When you think about healthy, right?
Yeah.
My goodness, because that's exactly where our healing comes from. And sometimes we get caught up thinking that we're going to get healing because we're in a relationship, or that we're going to be whole
because we're in a relationship. I also love the boundaries. We don't think about how many times we allow people to really cross boundaries because we hadn't even set any.
And most people don't set any in relationships other than like, hey, we're together. Like, that's not really a boundary. That's a completion title. But what does being together mean? If you set healthy boundaries, it means like, hey, this is where I don't want you to cross. Or if you do cross, please know that you're going to get a little bit of pushback. And when I talk about boundaries, I talk about from visual offenses. So you can have a guard wall. You can have a fence with some barbed wire. Or you can have like a horse fence where, you know, it's just wooden fence. And you could see in, people could peer through. Like, all our relationships have those levels of boundaries. You know, when you're when you first start, depending on where you are in your life in terms of healing yourself, you could have up that guard wall. And the person literally has to get a ladder, scale over, or they learn to knock on the door. And only when they knock on the door the way how they're supposed to knock on the door, do you choose to let them in. And a lot of us don't do that when we're trying to navigate prosperous relationships. We keep the guard wall up and forget that there's an entry point. Where's the door? And people knock.
My goodness. That is so good. So much revelation in that too. Wow. And that sounds like an evaluation that needs to happen, a self-evaluation and some reflection to figure out what do you have up right now? Is it a barbed wire? Is it a wall? What is it? And what is your entry point? Where is it? Listen, I think you're preaching already, okay? when you think about relationships, what are some common reasons why people encounter toxic relationships?
I will say the most common reason is family of origin. Ooh. Yeah. Jesus. Whatever you learned in your own space before you entered into any type of relationship was your precursor to whether or not it was going to be prosperous.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything else. So as we're always chasing or trying to repair what we didn't receive or what we received. And if you think about, you know, now there's so many people divorcing and people are like, oh, well, you know, oh my gosh, that's the worst thing to do. It's like, but a lot of people married the wrong people because they've been parented by people who were not great spouses. And so therefore they couldn't even manage the co-parenting aspect of it. Cause I have a theory on that. Like, you know, you have the spousal, you have the marital dyad, but then there's the spousal dyad underneath that. And then there's the parental dyad. And if you grow up with the parents who are not married, or you grow up with parents who are very, their relationship is very tumultuous, that translates into what you're either seeking or what you're trying to repair when you get into a relationship at any age.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a whole word and a whole, you know, well, of course, y'all, first of all, this is therapy 101 at this point, all right? This is therapy 101. Because when you think about those family dynamics, those family, you know, families of origin, you know, we learn things. We learn everything from our families, right? And so we can only change that when we know better, seek better, you know what I mean? See better. And so I love that you went there. And then just the spiritual aspect of that, you know, that's coming up right now for me is, you know, the concept of generational curses. And having things that happen in cycles as it relates to our families. And we have to be in a place where it's like, listen, you can break this. You can break this cycle. And it goes back to one of the things you said first, healthy.
Heal thy. That's all. You know, it's like, who are you? Because I teach this family dynamics, right? And I always tell my students when we talk about marriage, I'm like, you know, it's 50-50. And I was like, no, why would I ever want to bring half of who I am to another person?
Ooh, come on now.
You know, so I need to be always at my 100, even if my 100 is not executed like 100. So even I'm trying, I'm working towards. And most people, if you enter into relationships with that concept, or if you watch your parents do it, well, they did half of everything, then you're not given to the person what they require of you. They don't get the best you. But that's most people can't give the best themselves or the best you because they don't give the best you to themselves.
Listen, Because this is taking me back to an identity in Christ episode, mm-hmm. where we were just talking about when you learn who you are in Him and you begin to learn yourself, when you begin to face yourself in the mirror and learn more about yourself, that is when you can give more to other people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't know who you're showing up as because yeah. you don't really know yourself.
Exactly. So Lisa Nichols talks about this, you know, give from your overflow.
Yes.
Like stop pouring your cup. Like you have to be whole and you have to be, my thing is people get whatever's in my saucer, you okay. know, give from your overflow. But in order to give from your overflow, there has to be abundance of awareness. And I remember there was a couple of times where I was wondering whether or not I wanted to get in a relationship. And on my vision board, I had, do I or I do?
Ooh.
And I mulled on that for like a year. It's like, if you said I do, then what is it that you are bringing to the table that allows you to be prosperous in relationship? And I actually got a dating coach for a year. I was like, whatever he says I need to do, I would do that. And I learned principles of how to date, how to create tension, all of that stuff. So it wasn't a case. And I also did it in relation to, like, I had a male friend who I would always be cognizant of the behaviors that I would not do with him. If I didn't get a call, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you can call me. I'd be like, hey, you all right? And I would mirror and match, because it was also learning how to build friendships. But you have to know, you know, how are you trying to get up to your 100, or how are you trying to execute to your 100 and not giving somebody half of you, you know?
Wow. Okay. You're dropping gems. Okay. Gems. It was the do I or I do on the vision board. You know, I started to see yeah. that as so many things. That's like relationships. That's do I or I do want this business? Do I exactly. or I do want to move into the purpose that God has for me? Do I or I do, you know, oh my gosh, we can start to ask ourselves, you know, that question. Because mm-hmm. that's taking us back to one thing, a decision. What made you make that decision to say, you know what, I do. I want prosperous relationships.
So I tell people my story is not typical. So I am 40 now. Got 40 this year. But I was actually married at 25. Yeah, okay. I was married at 25. And I was married for about 3 years, dated my husband for about 2 years before, and then he passed suddenly. Mm. Well, not suddenly, he died from an asthma attack. Because I tell people things like that are never sudden. Things was happening in his body, but to the rest of the world, it was sudden. Wow. So that left me 27 years old with a 4-week-old newborn baby.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. And I think after, like, I would say 2 to 3 years, I was really steeped heavily in grief, you know, like, so there wasn't I want to talk to anybody or anything like that. I was like, let me just get through this parenting, because this is not what I had signed up for the 3 years prior.
Right.
So but then I started to date. I think 30, you know, we have milestones. So when I did the 30, I was like, you know what, let me take a photo shoot and all of that stuff. And I started to come back to myself, basically. Mm. And that the coming back to myself has been a journey from the time I was 27 to, I would say, really about 35, 36. Okay. And I started to work on myself. And I always say to, like, anybody that I dated between those years, I apologize, because my brain said, get a partner or date somebody with the intention of marriage, because that's where I was still stuck in.
Okay.
You know, I hadn't released that, you know, I hadn't grieved that to the point where it's like, you know what, not everybody's going to want to marry you, one, and two, not with a child, and not with the extension of what your grief was.
Yeah.
And I would say maybe 3 years ago, then I started to really, well, I have a mentor called Herbert Harris. Shout out to Dr. Herbert Harris. Love him. 12 Universal Laws of Success. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, being suited and booted for any occasion that you're in. Now, he's one of those old Southern gentlemen. He's from North Carolina. who will wear white, white linen suits and top hats and all of that stuff. And he, I was in a mentorship mastermind with him. And that stood up for me. It's like, you know, whatever it is you're trying to attract, you need to be suited and booted for it.
That's good.
And I started to do that. I started to look the part, feel the part. And that year when I put that do I is when I started to make the collective reason is like, I really do want a relationship, but I don't know how to be in one.
I think this is a good time to take a break and just remind you that if you're listening to this podcast and you are loving what you hear, to go over to Apple, go over to Spotify, go over to whatever podcast platform you're listening to right now and rate this podcast. Come on, y'all. I need some fives. I need 5 stars. So rate the podcast. Put a review in. Let me know what you're thinking, because that is how this podcast will rise to the top. And I seek to be amongst the number one players. So please go ahead, rate, review, subscribe, and share. Thank you.
And I started to enter into the realm of doing dating coaching, understanding just the language, because men speak a different language than women, you know, that sort of stuff. And I found that I was, and I don't want to make this sound like business 101, but I will. I started to generate leads.
In men, male leads.
Yes, you know. And people started to become interested, and I started to become more interested. And I said, you know what, let me go ahead and try this. But I think it was that pivoting point where I have a male best friend. Mm-hmm. And it was really getting to understand him and know him as a male without expectations that really helped me understand why I would want to be in a relationship with another human being. And I was not attracted to him or anything like that.
I was just about to ask that. So you were able to do this without, you know, forming some type of attraction to him?
Yeah, I was. Like, and what I did is I mirrored any relationship or somebody that I was talking to the level of interaction that I would have. Wow. And that way that reduced, you know, any anxiety, oh, he didn't call, or he didn't tell me about his business, or like, he didn't call me first thing in the morning. Like, it changed the dynamic for me, because it changed the concept of ownership to partnership. Because when we want to get in relationships, we want to own people. Well, how come you don't call me? Or how come you didn't tell me about this? Or we want to own people and we can't. Especially, and this is for the ladies who are, anybody who's old, over the age of, let's say, 32. Mm-hmm. People become set in their ways at 35. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, 20, 25 and 32, we're still navigating. Maybe job, maybe get a house, that kind of stuff. But you see, when you get 35, it's almost like, I know who I am. Yeah. If you may not be the best you, but you're so rooted and I know who I am, or I've been through so much stuff. So what we tend to do when we're a little bit older is want people to navigate with us, like how we thought they should have navigated us when we were 18, 20, 22. No, people grow, right? Wow.
I'm hearing even, you know, we're talking about a relationship right now, or, you know, a partner or a spouse or what have you. I'm even hearing friendships. And
yes.
When we start making friends, you know, when we get over 30, really, and what that's like, you know, and how we often try to, you know, compare them to prior friends, or, you know, we're just not as good with building those friendships when we get older. Yeah.
And that's, that's when I shifted. I was like, you know what, having lost the husband, and I had to slow my brain down. I was like, Jay, you're the pressure that society puts on you that you need to be married by XYZ is like, Chick, you've been married already. So like slow your roll. If it don't happen in 5 years, if you want to tick off the box that you've done that, you have. Yeah. So I also gave myself grace.
Grace.
You know, I began to give myself grace in that it was not about how fast I can get married, but it was how best can I build a friendship. And that was really my pivoting point. Like, let me really go ahead and have some great friendships. That way I can begin to really choose you know, do I want to do this friendship with you that could lead into a partnership, that could lead into marriage?
I love that. How best can I build a friendship? Man, that really takes me into the next question. At Spirituality, we love practical tips. Mm-hmm. And you've given some already, but what practical tips would you provide on how, like, how do you do this thing, how to prosper in relationships?
First, you have to make a decision, or even if your decision is rooted in indecision, you have to put a timeline on it. And I know a lot of people would not agree with this, but it's like, it's why you write, why your people come to you is because you have a timeline with action.
That's good.
That will be my first thing, is have a timeline. How are you dedicating a year to you healing yourself without other people present? Because we heal thyself with other people present. So can you do that? So is it a form of you going to therapy? You having really difficult conversations with people who you believe has hurt you. Mm-hmm. And then there has to be a timeline where you learn and understand the opposite sex, the opposite mm-hmm. gender. Mm-hmm. Because too many of us only understand it from the perspective of I want, not let me hear what you're really talking about. So root yourself in some platonic relationships and really get to understand what people do and how they have dynamics in the relationship. I would say that's like, give yourself a year on that, right?
Okay.
And these years could be simultaneous. They could run together, because we were like, girl, I ain't got all that time.
We don't have 3 more years, JC.
Yeah. but you have to be mindful that you're doing this work, not necessarily to reach complete a goal by a certain age, but that when you do reach a goal, that you have the tools and the skills to keep it. Like, I don't want to be your one and only. I want to be your last.
That's good.
Yeah. But I can't be your last if I don't have any skill sets.
Woo. Okay. I'm thinking now even about relationships outside of romantic relationships, mm-hmm. like mother-daughter relationships, you know, father-son relationships, mm-hmm. and like hearing just these almost like transferable skills.
Yeah.
You know, that I want to point out that, you know, we're talking about relationships, but y'all, this applies to all of our relationships.
Definitely.
When you say, you know, understanding the opposite gender, even for a father, even for a brother. Mm-hmm. And then I wondered too, what about that same sex? When you talk about relationships, you know, friends and mm-hmm. parents, you know?
I think in terms of partnerships, The danger with just holding on to same sex is that we'll be biased in our approach. And it's not that we never want to be biased, but you're always going to be chasing something from the same perspective and not a different perspective. And that's why a lot of us get stuck.
Yeah. Wow.
So if you're and I'll add another thing. Now you add in age, because I have a rule. Do not date anybody that's out of your 7-year wingspan. Mm. You're setting yourself up simply because you're at different stages of your life. So I know ideally it looks really good, because my husband, when I got married, I was 25 or 24. Girl, I can't even remember. and he was 37. So we had a 13-year difference. And now I'm 40. There's no way I'm marrying anybody that's 50, 53. No shape, form, because they're at different stages in their life. Now, we would have grown together, yeah. right? And it would have been ideal. However, on hindsight, it may not have been. I might have been like 30 and he would have been pushing 43. And I'm like, do I want to really? Have we done enough together? So I think you also have to count to it, not only just for same sex, but look in terms of the biases that we carry.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, man. So thinking about practical tips, of course, making a decision is the mm-hmm. number one thing.
Yeah.
And I love that too, because it goes back to the do I or I do.
And it's okay if you're there. It's just own it. Yeah. Indecisiveness.
Come on, own your indecisiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, it really sounds like, I know that, you know, you do a lot as it relates to re-engineering right now.
Yes.
Yep. And that is so important, I know. So just thinking about your journey, you know, how is learning to prosper in relationships really increase your spiritual maturity? Just that connection, relationship to God, just spiritually, how is that?
So let me just talk about this pandemic and my current relationship that I'm in, which is probably like, we've been together, like we made a decision. So we've been together like 9 months. But has my life changed exponentially in those 9 months? Chalk and cheese. Yes.
Wow.
Like chalk and cheese. And I think what makes it really about spiritual maturity and spirituality is being able to listen and have a partnership that allows me to grow exponentially while he's growing exponentially. And we're both 40. So we're coming with the same, almost the same ideals, but just from different perspectives. And we are very rooted in who we are as individuals and are very aware of how not to try to shake up anything in anybody's apple cart and just be who we are. Which then allows us to be a lot more spiritually connected. You know,
I love that.
And I came up to the other day, I was like, you know what? Like, we're actually evenly yoked, even in the concept of down to that we both have masters. We both own our own homes. We're world travelers. You know, we have great family relationships. And people are like, oh, but that's not really evenly yoked. It's like, you gotta be mindful that it's not only just from a perspective of spirituality in the theory, but the practical application of it.
I love that. Yeah, because most of the time we think about, you know, biblical definitions and thoughts about being equally yoked is, you know, is this person a Christian? Are they on the same level with you spiritually?
Yeah.
And not necessarily thinking about, like you said, the practical application of it. Are we on the same level as it relates to education? Or can we understand each other that way?
Even
if we're on the same level, can, you know, you see a well-read man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like he gets up and he reads.
Okay. Come on now.
And I'm like, okay.
Going somewhere.
Yes. I was like, I can handle this. You know, we're not getting up and checking social media. We might every now and then. But like those things we have to look at in terms of, you know, what's your alignment? What's your purpose? And when you realize that there are people in your life that are doing those things that complement what you do, you keep going at it. So I think for me, it's increasing. Like my business has tripled.
Woo! Since he's been in your life.
Yeah.
Baby, bring him on.
My relationship with other people, my creativity.
Yeah.
And it's allowing myself to be loved and nourish in an environment that's wired for prosperity. That's what a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, that is so good. I was having this conversation with someone the other day. He was asking me what I want in a mate, you know, especially, you know, where I am spiritually, knowing that I need, you know, more of a covering and what have you. But I definitely see that, you know, when someone enters your life, you know, partner, a spouse, everything else should be lining up as well, right? Like you should see, you know, you should be prospering in other areas of your life as well as a result of this person being in your life. So when you said business triple,
okay. It's like sold, sign me up.
Sign me up, sis. I love it. Wow. So when you think about your spirituality, you know, in what area have you grown the most?
I think for me, I have grown in personal development.
Yeah.
And why I connect those dots, because this is how I view spirituality. I view spirituality from the perspective of you and me. There's a triangle on the bottom and my higher power at the top. And the more I am with you, the closer I am to my higher power and the ability to execute whatever task they're asking me to do. Right? I've learned that. I've had that definition of spirituality from working in a rehab for 13 years. Wow. Because a lot of people sometimes cannot even say the word God. But if you teach them that there's something greater than them. And to me, my personal growth, my understanding of self, my understanding of connecting with other people, my understanding of developing, spending time with myself in order to be better for somebody else.
That's good.
Or better with somebody else, mm-hmm, has increased.
Come on now.
Let's exponentially. Do it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because my partner, he is very grounded in who he is. And I remember there was one time I wanted to do something. He was like, look, it's 10 o'clock. I need to go to bed. I was like, well, who does this? But I was like, this is like, dude. And I was like, you know what? Let me respect something that makes so much sense to him, but also I can apply to myself.
Going back to those boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, he can flex some boundaries out of this world. But it helped me to understand, but you know what? Then I can chase the things that I am trying to prosper in my life outside of him. You know, and it's like when you said, you know, write the book, sis. Like, you know, you just go ahead and do this. And it's like, okay, let me go ahead and be obedient. And a lot of people don't understand that sometimes people are giving you messages, not because they're know-it-all, but because there are the link between you and your spirituality.
Yes, I love it. Wow. So much growth in your life. I mean, you speak with a level of maturity, you know, and just, you have this teacher spirit anyway, where you're just always teaching when you're talking. But what is one word that describes what God is teaching you in this season of your life?
Obedience. Okay. That's it. Like if somebody says do something, like if you say, all right, have y'all not finished this? I'm like, go run it. Let me go finish this. You know, I think when we're obedient to movement and purpose, we get the results. Mm-hmm. And not forcing ourselves to double check or analyze if what you've heard is what you needed to do. If it's loud enough,
no questioning.
It's loud enough. Yeah.
No questioning. That's good.
Yeah.
I love that. Because I've been living this hashtag obedient life. And it's not always easy. It is not easy at all. It stretches you to the point of no return, but the rewards and the benefits always outweigh. Yeah.
And I see that. And that's the thing. People don't understand that you can 10x everything when you make an investment in one thing.
That's so good.
Yeah. So if you invest in your relationships, and people have to understand that relationships are a set of skills. So instead of investing in the person, invest in the skills that you can interact with them holistically. If you spend time there, just investing in the skills, what I need to learn from this interaction, how do I need to shift and do something different that this person does not feel small? Like those are skills that you're invested in. And people like you did a dating coach. I was like, yeah, because I wanted to be successful. That's, you go do it. You get for business coach, you go do it for the best school. Why aren't you doing it for your relationships?
That's so good. Get us right together. Step on my toes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Get Thank the alcohol.
I love it. Man, this has been amazing. Tell people how they can find you, what products or services you have. Share anything that people might, you know, want to invest in or how they can connect with you.
So they can reach me, search me, all kind of stuff at JC Mayers, JayceMayers on all platforms. I think Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and my website as well too. I am definitely into re-engineering people. So I'm a re-engineering coach, founder of the Re-engineering U University. And that is my mission, you know, to help people re-engineer their life, you know, transform and redesign their life after feeling stuck and lost after adversity, hardships, or challenges in life. Because we have to learn how to live life on life's terms. You know, we always want to go from that survive to thrive, mm-hmm, when we need to learn how to live.
Yes, come on. That is that middle part. That middle part.
Is that middle part. Yeah, that thrive season will come, but you have to live first. And a lot of us don't want to live, so we stay in that survival mode. So I help people shift that narrative. You know, let me teach you. Let me re-engineer your life. So that's me.
That's so good. Man, you have re-engineered us on today. I mean, just starting off with, you know, thinking about what a prosperous relationship even means and how you've grown and really hearing your story, your testimony, especially about your husband. So, you know, I hope that and pray that, you know, someone has connected with this because I surely have. Oh my gosh. You know, so many practical tips and I can't wait to put some of them out so everyone else can see this amazing woman. Y'all, she is live like every day almost. I'm like, good gracious, she is consistent with the lives. And y'all know I don't like to go live, okay? But when I tell you, go ahead and follow her on Instagram. I'll make sure to include all of the links in the show notes so she's easily accessible. All right, well, listen, we've had so many, you know, great tips. We got to move on to this A, this application. So let's move on to the A.
All right, we made it to the A. Let's go. Did JC just give us therapy on the podcast? She just broke it down on the podcast. Y'all, that was so good. Make sure you go and follow her so that you can get all the gems from her as well. Listen, I prayed about this application and let me tell you something. You know, it's like all season long, God has been having us this in this like evaluative, you know, mode where we are really taking assessments of ourselves, of our circles, of things around us, right? And so he did the exact same thing with this application when I prayed about it. And literally, I went through the exercise as God was downloading it to me. I literally started going through this application myself. And whoo, when I tell you something, I just realized a lot of things. I just realized a lot of things. So here it is. All right. The application for this episode, again, we're all about, you know, prospering in relationships. And so we want to assess our relationships, right? And so the first thing that I felt God calling me to do was to draw a circle in the middle of a piece of paper. I was literally having a vision of this thing. Like I put a circle in the middle of a piece of paper and I put me in the middle, like literally wrote M-E. So get a piece of paper. You're going to draw a circle in the middle of that circle. In the middle of that piece of paper, you're going to write me or maybe even your name, right? Okay, just like you are drawing a bubble map, I want you to put yourself in the middle and then draw out five bubbles around you, all right? Five bubbles around you, and each one of them should be connected to you with a line. Here we go. I want you to write in those five bubbles the top five people who you talk to or spend time with. All right. Not the people who you say are closest to you, unless they're the same people, who are the top five people that you talk to or spend time with. Some of them might even be your coworkers, right? Five people. So you might even want to like look in your phone, you know, and kind of take some inventory. Who do I talk to the most? Who do I spend time with the most? The top five people. And I want you to go ahead and write each one of their names, only five, in each one of those five bubbles. Okay. Here are the three things that God began to take me through as I did this exercise. Three questions. The first question, what am I bringing? What do I bring to that relationship? So it's me taking an assessment, you taking an assessment of what you bring to the relationship. What do you bring? All right. What are you receiving? So as I think about one of those people that I talk to the most, what do I feel like I'm receiving from that relationship? This could be one word. This could be, you know, five sentences, whatever it is, however detailed you want to get. Okay. And the last question that I loved, it always, God always takes me back to this. What is my assignment in their lives? Let me tell you something. Three out of those five people, I right offhand, like immediately, I did not know my full assignment in their life. And so then I went into prayer. so that God could show me and reveal to me what that assignment was. You know, and what he began to, you know, show me and help me understand is something that he's been sharing with me about my mentorship relationships that I have right now, right? I have some mentees. And the first thing that I did to even accept someone as a mentee was to go to God and say, God, one, do you want this person to be a mentee? God, two, what is my assignment in their life? And three, how can I ensure that I steward the assignment well? If my assignment in someone's life is to make sure that they are confident and to, you know, ensure that they're walking in confidence, then I can't go and move in their life and start, you know, disrupting things that breaks down their confidence. That's not what I was put there for. I got to operate and steward what God has given me in their life. Okay. Write down in yourself in the middle of a piece of paper, put yourself, do a bubble map, put down the top five people that you talk to or spend time with. I didn't say, you know, your bestie, because people are like, oh yeah, I'm closest to my best friend. But do you talk to your best friend every day? If not, then your best friend might not go here. That's cool. The top five people that you talk to or spend time with, and ask yourself these three questions. One, what am I bringing to the relationship? Two, what am I receiving from the relationship? And three, what is my assignment in this person's life? And if you don't know that assignment right offhand, or if you think you know that assignment and you don't know that it came straight from God, then go into prayer and get your assignment so that you can make sure that you are stewarding this person properly. I just said three out of the five. Now, again, I spent a lot of time at work. And so two of these people were my coworkers. And I had to realize that I didn't know the assignment that I had for them. But don't you worry. God sure did give me one. All right. Pray about that thing. He'll give it to you. I hope that you have an amazing time with this application. It is so practical, but I guarantee you that what's going to begin to happen is a spiritual shift as a result of you knowing the assignment in their lives, as a result of you knowing what you bring to the table and also what you're receiving. Because if things need to shift and change and transform as you do this, they will, because now you have brought it to God and he knows what this assignment is doing and how it's happening and shifting in your life right now. And so if you need to realign this thing, go to your heavenly Father and ask him to help you do so. All right. You got this. So just as we end every episode, I want to end with a word of prayer. So Father God, we thank you, God. We thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for everything you have done. God, I thank you now, Lord, that you are all knowing, God. You are omniscient. God, you know everything that we need in these relationships. Father God, you know how we operate. You know how we are wired. And Father God, you know, oh God, what we need to connect with others. Father God, I thank you, oh God, that the same way, oh God, that you have been Jehovah Jireh in other situations, oh God, I ask now that you are a provider, even in our relationships, oh God, Lord, that we have everything we need, oh God, that you're providing right now, oh God, divine connections and kingdom relationships, oh God, that you're providing what we need, oh God, to connect with others. Lord, I thank you now, oh God, that we have the ability, oh God, to let go of anyone, oh God, that is not bringing the value that they're supposed to bring. Father God, I thank you now, God, that even as we stretch our arms out, oh God, to begin to worship you and praise you and spend time with you, oh God, that you begin to download to us, oh Lord, that you begin to show us and to give us new revelation, oh God, about our relationships. Father, I thank you now, Lord, that you are transforming our relationships, oh God, so that our relationships, oh God, are a reflection of you. Lord, I thank you now, God, that as we evaluate the people in our circle, and we evaluate, oh Lord, what we bring to the table. Father God, I thank you now, God, for showing us, oh God, your power, Lord, your power and how you're operating in each one of these relationships, oh God. Father God, I thank you now, oh God, that even as we begin to connect, oh God, through phone conversations, oh God, and through text, oh God, and email, that we recognize something in our relationships that we hadn't recognized before. Lord, I thank you, oh God, that you begin to download our assignments. so that we might steward them properly. So that we might steward them properly, oh Lord. Father God, I thank you now, oh God, that even in this moment that we are building our vertical relationship, oh God, that we're spending more time with you so that you can download more about our horizontal relationships, oh God, with other people. Lord, pour into us so that we might pour into others. Lord, thank you right now, oh God, for continuing to fill our cups. Lord, I thank you that what you're doing even in this moment, oh God, is aligning people in our lives, Lord, aligning what we need, oh God, aligning what we have asked for, aligning what we need in this season. And Father God, I thank you that even as we move forward, oh God, in the next couple months, oh Lord, that you'll continue to orchestrate new relationships and kingdom connections, oh God, that bring us joy. Father, I thank you for anyone right now, oh God, who's seeking a mate, who is wanting connection, who is wanting connection, who's wanting connection, who's wanting companionship, who is wanting more, oh God. Lord, I thank you now, oh God, that you're aligning their hearts right now in the name of Jesus, and that you're aligning someone in their lives. Father God, I thank you for everybody who is married, and I thank you now, Lord, whether they're engaged or married, oh God, or been in a relationship for a long time. Father God, I thank you right now for that person, Lord, and I thank you, oh God, that you're helping to meet their needs, even in the relationship. Father God, fill any gaps, fill any holes, oh God. Begin to download and help them understand, oh God, the more about that person. Father God, I thank you for the connection that you're making even now, oh God, like wires coming together. Hallelujah. I see you, Lord, like wires coming together and creating a spark. God, I thank you for the spark. I thank you for the fire. I thank you for fresh fire, oh God, on our relationships, oh God, that comes down. I thank you now, oh Lord, that you're in the midst of them all. Father, thank you for being our first relationship, our most important relationship, oh God. And we will give you honor first, God, so that we might have other relationships that align. God, thank you for being you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in. I am so excited about what God is doing in the lives of everyone that is connected to spirituality. It is because of you that this podcast is prosperous. Speaking of prosperous, if you would like to sow a seed into spirituality or Dr. LaTanya Moore, feel free to send it via Cash App at the Dr. Moore. That's at TheDrMoore. I appreciate you so much for joining this journey with me. So follow the journey by hitting subscribe, share the podcast, and follow me on Instagram at the Dr. Moore. You can also hit me up in, you know, my Gmail. Just send me an email at drlatanyamoore@gmail.com. If you are a faith-based entrepreneur, listen, I would love to partner with you. Send me a message and let's connect. This is about to be epic.